from stpetecatalyst.com.
Joining me in the Catalyst studio is Brian Ault, president of our Tampa Bay Rays. Welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me. Great to be on the Catalyst.
So we're having this conversation after you and co-president Matt Silverman sat down with the Times. So I'd like to obviously dig into some new territory that wasn't covered there, but there are some people who refuse to get their news anywhere but the Catalyst. And so for their sake, the news just out of the city is that they've put the kibosh on future conversations around the sister city concept. So let's start by digging in there.
Yeah, I mean, the mayor issued a memo, I think, that clarified his stance and his administration stance with respect to the sister city concept that we want to explore, while also clearly delineating what we've known to be true from the beginning, which is if we're not able to reach an agreement with the city of St. Petersburg, the Rays have to figure out where they're going to play opening day of 2028. And we're pretty close to that time frame already.
Right.
And so this keeps a solution in 2024, 2025 off the table, or at least makes it a lot harder to see right now than we would if we'd reached a cooperative resolution. But we have for some time and continue to be, you know, resolute in our belief that exploring the sister city concept is the best and quite possibly only way to keep Major League Baseball in Tampa Bay. And so those of us whose livelihoods are attached to it and those of us who really love the team are going to keep fighting for it.
So with any of the discussions you have around solutions for keeping the Rays here, you know, the big parameters are not ideal attendance, not ideal corporate support, not ideal public funding support for a new stadium. In the Times article, you mentioned that the way the cities were divided up, crossing bridges and things like that was more of a barrier than you had expected. So what are some of the main levers in increasing attendance in your mind, you know, specifically thinking about user experience and what a new stadium might bring with regard to that user experience to impact attendance?
Well, we'll get to the user experience in a minute. I want to first point out that we have more people come to Rays games than Buccaneers and Lightning combined. We're talking about 81 home games a year, and you're talking about a sport where an attendance of 17,000 is last in the league, whereas in hockey, that's pretty much a sellout.
Right.
So it's important to just right-size these things. Major League Baseball teams are in the very busiest, most dense, and most populated cities in the entire country. When you have a football team that's playing 8 home games a year, you don't have the same demands on a specific population that you might otherwise. Tampa Bay has some unique challenges for baseball that I believe make it a uniquely great place to live, work, and play. I absolutely love living here. If we didn't, and if Stu didn't, and if this wasn't a market that we wanted to be a part of, there'd be a lot easier ways to leave town than versus trying to figure out a way to stay under any circumstances, including potentially playing half your games in another city. And so one of those is the fact that we are not a single large city like Atlanta or Dallas. We are 4 or 5 different individual municipalities with counties that separate us and with bridges that separate us and with very challenging public transportation situations. And when you're talking about a 10-game homestand that may go from Monday to the following Wednesday, getting 25,000 people to the same location is really, really difficult. We're also a very entrepreneurial environment. Minneapolis-St. Paul has, you know, I think it's 3 or 4 times as many Fortune 500 companies as we have here. Maybe that's great. Maybe it's not. I don't really ascribe a value judgment to it. I love the quality and nature of the Tampa Bay business community, but it has fewer companies that can put down 6- and 7-figure sponsorship deals than other markets that have Major League Baseball. And that's just a fact. On top of all that, baseball's a summer game. If baseball was a winter game, you'd see fewer issues in Tampa Bay and more problems in Boston. But we have to put a roof on our stadium. And we have a whole lot of season ticket holders that we reach out to, prospects who say, I might purchase them, but you know what? My family spends June in North Carolina, or we go to Utah every August. And that's perfectly reasonable and great for them, but it makes it a lot harder for us to sell tickets. So some of those challenges that I think are specific to the Tampa Bay area, we underestimated when we did our initial demographic analysis. When you look at the total population and you see the total number of companies, you start to try to figure out a way to make it work. And we certainly thought that it could. And we were building off of a Devil Rays history that hadn't been successful at all. And so we believed, all right, let's show everybody what we can do on the field. And of course, we had that incredible run in 2008. And let's show everybody start showing up at the Trop. And let's get this thing moving in the right direction. And it proved to be a little more difficult than we anticipated. All that said, during that same period of time, me and Matt and, you know, Melanie Lenz and the rest of our colleagues who sort of moved down here to become a part of the team grew more and more invested in Tampa Bay, loved living here more and more, you know, started sending our kids to school here, got ingrained in the community and came to fall in love with it the way that everybody else does. So now we're at where we are today. We've got a team that's won the 5th most games in all of Major League Baseball since 2008. truly incredible accomplishment for our baseball operations department, given that they have the lowest payroll to deal with year in and year out. And our attendance hasn't migrated above second to last in the league. And it doesn't help that the lowest is in Miami in a brand new stadium. So when we try to talk to Major League Baseball about solving our issues, we have a very skeptical audience about the entire state of Florida up there.
Well, and that seems reasonable because most of the parameters you introduced are somewhat immovable. You know, the migratory nature of Florida, the number of Fortune 500 companies, and we're growing our own successes here and we're making incremental improvements every year. Mm-hmm. But it feels like the biggest, you know, juice to attendance that you can really control is winning. And you did win and it didn't juice the attendance. So then, you know, having that experience have happened, falling back on the other parameters that are challenges, they almost would seem like even secondary to hopeful solutions. So where does the hope come from given that?
Well, we heard about all the corporate support over in Tampa, and we've heard that, you know, maybe if we gave it a shot over there, we'd figure out a way to make that happen. And we had a lot of really hardworking people put a lot of effort towards making that work on the race side, on the county side, on the city side, and from the business community. The sheer magnitude of the challenge of Major League Baseball, I think, has been lost on some.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to build a roof stadium, we're talking about over $1 billion. Project in Texas is going to be about $1.2 billion. That's a heavy lift. From the raise standpoint, we can put in what we can put in, but the amount that we have to put into a financing plan, it's almost like a home mortgage.
Right.
We've got to pay off the interest and we've got to pay off the principal and we've got to lay that out every year. And if we're not bringing in more than that and additional revenues, we're better off where we are. And as we tried to figure out how we're going to work that math together, it was really, really hard. Some markets get more in naming rights sponsorships than Tampa Bay community provides in total corporate sponsorship for us. And do we need to continue to work really hard to get every dollar we can? Of course.
Right.
But there are some economic realities to the situation that we've got to accept too. And so our next hope is to bring in another market similar to ours, one that loves baseball, that has a long love affair with Major League Baseball through the Expos, that was devastated when they lost their team, but that had a same time, difficult time filling the place up. They had a dome stadium that may not have been in the right part of town. And if we can bring in Montreal companies, Montreal fans, we can generate a lot of tourism between both markets. We can double our television audience. If we can keep our current corporate sponsors at more or less the same level they're at now and build a corporate base up there on top of it, you're talking about a fundamental change to our business that will allow us to put more money on the field and maybe change the way we look at this whole thing. And that's what we're trying to do.
And splitting a team between two cities is quite innovative. It's not been done to the best of my knowledge. And to just dig in a little bit to the reason and logic behind it, it really comes down to supply and demand. Raised it about 1.2 million in attendance last year. A lot of people coming to one and two games each. And the idea is that if half the games were here, that the bulk of those people would still find their way to one or two games each. And so maybe in half the games, you could do 800,000 to 900,000 instead of 1.2. And then you do about the same up in Montreal because it's similar parameters. And the net result is you get to 1.6, 1.8, maybe even 2 instead of 1.2. which makes the business a lot healthier.
Yeah, it's a good start to it. The idea was born from a number of factors. One was to increase our revenue base, and that's really important. We absolutely believe that that happens through attendance. The overwhelming majority of Rays fans come to one or two games per year. I'm confident that those folks will continue to come to one or two games per year, if not more, in a beautiful, brand new outdoor stadium during the most beautiful time of the year in Tampa Bay in the spring. So we believe that we can maintain roughly the same numbers and possibly increase them locally, depending on where it goes and how exactly the whole deal is put together. Second, we're going to introduce an entirely new television market in Montreal. Every fan here is going to still be able to watch every single game on television. I want to be clear about that. They're going to have every bit as much connection as they've ever had to the team, or at least that's going to be our goal. They're going to have the Rays locally headquartered here. But because we're going to play some of those games up there, we get to draw from an entirely different population. Our corporate sponsors, many of them have said, yeah, I'll stay on at the same level I am, if not more. We've got the same amount in the budget. Maybe we'll buy twice as many signs. Maybe we'll throw in a few extra suite nights. Maybe we'll go from 4 seats to 8 seats. But we want the Rays here and we want to continue to support them. And again, we think the same thing happens up north. That increased attendance, that greater corporate support, that extra television gives us a stronger revenue base across the board. And then the real magic in it is the weather. We're chasing the good weather. When it gets too hot up here, we're going to move north. When it's too cold up there, we're going to be down here. It allows us to save hundreds of millions of dollars in construction costs in both areas. And so, whereas we ran into a funding gap in Ybor City between what was going to be a $1 billion project and in which the Rays corporate base wasn't increasing materially. Now we're talking about doing both those things. We're talking about a team that's got more revenue at its disposal, and we're talking about a project that costs a lot less. When you add in the extra selling point that, you know, is not for us to sell, but that, you know, we've certainly seen plenty of support for the Dunedin Blue Jays and the Clearwater Phillies and any number of spring training teams around here. Well, right now the Rays don't do a whole lot of tourism driving around spring training because most of our fans live in the area. They drive to the games. They're not spending nights in hotels. If you're getting people from Montreal to come down here, you can bet they're going to stay at our beaches and they're going to check out our restaurants and they're going to spend nights in our hotel rooms. And that's direct economic impact that is on a scale never been explored in sports. We've never tried something out quite like this. And I think it could be a really big deal.
And it gets interesting because obviously the core cities that can clearly support teams have them. And the cities that are still competing for teams are all sort of by definition fringe cities. And we've seen cities like Washington lose and gain their team. They're on their third iteration, I think. And if this model works, then it really unlocks the door for all the other cities that are, you know, just sort of marginally viable to start working together to create these two city models that can create some really healthy businesses out there.
We just want to try it. We want to really look at it and try it. I often say, like, maybe we can save a lot of money on a stadium that is available 365 days a year, by the way. It doesn't disappear. We're going to have an outdoor, beautiful venue to program all winter long, no matter what. I mean, that seems like an opportunity for the city to really get into and really explore. And maybe we can bring those folks in Montreal back down again when it's really cold up there. It's exciting. It's a new way to look at things. When we're asked outside of the sister city concept, you know, when people try to explain to us why we have trouble drawing fans, well, you're in a dome facility. Baseball is meant to be played outdoors. 81 games is way too many games. No one wants to go to that many, you know? In the summer, a lot of people leave town. All right, we're trying to solve those problems. We're trying to work around them. And on top of that, we're making it a cheaper project. So I get the skepticism. Believe me, I've got it from my own family members when it came out. This is a different, weird, new way of looking at sports. But we're Florida. You know, we've seen that you can follow your home team anywhere with the way streaming works now. You know, you have access to your teams wherever you are. And it's time to think about a new way to make baseball more successful here.
Can you help us understand the skepticism? Is it just the weirdness of the idea? Is it sharing our team with someone? What are the main drivers that you've seen behind the skepticism?
Well, I think out of the gates, it was painted as some sort of leverage play. Again, you know, I appreciate the time to talk to you because I find that when you get 15 to 20 minutes with someone, they start to really start nodding their head. They start to understand why this makes sense. They also, if they're skeptical about it being a leverage play, pretty quickly realize that you'd have to work very hard to find a more convoluted way to try to generate leverage in a local market. We are free agents in 2028. Every city in North America knows it. Nashville knows it. Portland knows it. Charlotte knows it. Montreal knows it. They all know that if they want a baseball team in 2028, they can pick up the phone, call either Major League Baseball or call us and say, hey, we're busy putting a package together. We've got a site for you. We want you to come out here and look. And if we were to announce, you know, in 3 days, all right, we're done with Tampa Bay, let us know who wants us. That's how we generate the most leverage we can. That's how we generate the most leverage locally. And that's how we generate the most leverage from across the board. So saying we are unwilling to consider any other markets outside of Tampa Bay and Montreal, and saying that we're committed to the sister city idea, and having to go through a process up at Major League Baseball to get approval, and having to go through some of the headaches that we've had to go through down here, I think you'd be really hard pressed to think that we would go through all of that if we weren't very sincere in trying to make this happen. So that's the thing I'd want to knock down first. We believe in this. We think it's a great solution. It gives us the possibility of putting a much higher payroll on the field year in and year out, and allows us to be a competitive market in the big leagues in a way that there's no other solution to. Then the skepticism comes from sort of just some, you can't do that. Well, you can't start relief pitchers. You can't shift the way that we did. You can't win with the lowest payroll in the game. You can't survive this guy leaving and that person going somewhere. You can't, you know, have no star players who move on through free agency. We've been doing the you can'ts for long enough that we're pretty excited about trying to do one more. And it's not something that we're going to let hold us back. After that, it's, you know, no one's going to feel that they really love the team. I think that those people who do come 3 to 5 times a year and watch a lot more on TV are going to find, wow, hey, there's an even better team on the field. They're able to keep more of their stars. They've remained committed to this community just as they said they would. It's a pretty cool ballpark. I kind of want to check it out. We'll figure out a way to hang on to them. And beyond that, I think it's tough. Like, there's not a lot of reasons not to try it, to continue to harbor the hope that we're going to be able to get 30,000 people a night, 81 times a year, anywhere in the Tampa Bay region. I think is a little is a little foolhardy at this point. You know, we've put really compelling teams on the field and we're not missing by just a few people here and there. It's a major problem. And it's a major problem that Major League Baseball will not allow to continue forever. You know, we are very large recipients through the revenue sharing system. And that system is not meant to be an annual payment. It is meant to help small market teams in down years. It's been a long time since we had a down year. It's been an even longer time since we haven't needed a whole lot of revenue sharing. And so when you look at what the 29 other owners of baseball are doing, they want to make sure that if we're going to build a new ballpark in Tampa Bay, it better convince them that it's going to solve the revenue problems just as much as it needs to convince us.
And I want to dig into the revenue for a bit too, because I think that's something that's a little bit lost on the general public, or at least for me, I'll speak for myself. But I do want to validate that in all the times I've talked to you and the times that, you know, I've heard you talk, that your love of the city and that your love of really wanting to keep your family here and being truly invested in it. And I can very comfortably say that you're almost willing personally for the team to stay here just because of how much you don't want to leave the area. So, you know, that's not necessarily, you know, the leverage thing aside, but you know, you saying that 100% and every ounce of experience I've had with you is very true.
Thank you. I mean, I appreciate that. And you've done a lot to make this city what it is too. I mean, that's what's so cool about St. Petersburg, right? You can look around and point to the people and the groups and the organizations that are making the city better. Like the Yankees guys don't feel that way.
Yeah.
They just don't, you know, they don't meet with the mayor as much as I do. They don't meet with city council people do. They don't see people at the local restaurants and around town the way that we do. I love that about St. Petersburg. Makes it a little harder to get 30,000 people in your building every night, but it's not a bad thing at all. It's something that makes it a really exciting opportunity.
You just got to start friending more people on Facebook.
I'm a very passive user of social media.
So I think it's worth just briefly going over how the revenue works, because you make a point that you've essentially, you know, it can be said that the Yankees are basically paying the Rays to kick their butt, you know? So
some years that's been true. Yeah.
So can you just kind of run through how revenue comes into the team and, you know, and sort of what proportion and then how that league revenue TV sharing works?
Yeah. There's a couple sources of revenue for the baseball team outside of local revenues. Basically, one is the central revenue system. All national TV deals, all national licensing deals, all the national sponsorships the league gets is roughly split up equally amongst the teams. That's a little bit of an advantage for us relative to other teams. You can imagine if you're doing a national deal with MLB, you probably value the Yankees a little bit more than you do the Rays, but we're partners in an industry together and that's how that works. Then on top of that, local revenues are split through a relatively simple taxing system, which is that for every local dollar that comes our way, and it's a little bit convoluted because it's done over a three-year average, and I'm not going to get into the inner details of the system, but some percentage of every dollar that we bring in locally, we put into the central pot. Some percentage of every dollar that the Yankees bring in locally goes into the central pot. At the end of the day, that pot is divided equally amongst all the teams. So just using made up numbers for now, you could imagine that the Yankees put in $100, we put in $10, that's 110, we each get 55 out. That winds up being the Yankees giving us $45. You have to do it with all 30 teams. There's some teams that are excluded from revenue sharing. There's some teams that are almost receive it every single year like we do. But roughly, that's how it works. And again, because we don't have a salary cap like every other league in North America does, that is meant to provide the Tampa Bay Rays a fighting chance against the New York Yankees. And we've had a fighting chance. At the same time, again, in those years where you're making the postseason, as we once did 4 out of 6 years, or as we did this past year, the theory is that the local markets are going to get excited and show up and support that team in those years. And those revenue sharing payments are going to drop a good amount, if not entirely. We haven't been able to make that happen yet.
So when you talk about attendance being the key, then it all just feeds up into the value of the corporate sponsorships, the value of the local sponsorships, and then the actual revenue itself.
It's everything. It's everything. Look, if we could be a really successful team with 10,000 people coming in, great. You know, we don't have a problem doing that. We built a thing that was too big, obviously, but we want to win a World Series and we want to be a team that our market and our league can be proud of. And right now, I think on the field, that's true. But off the field, I think it's universally recognize that there's an issue here and there's a problem and it's not working the way that it's supposed to. And so we're trying to figure out how to fix that.
Moving outside of the finances of the team itself, let's talk a little bit about the economic impact, the economic development opportunities and risks that come with, you know, the two-city idea. How will that impact tourism? How do you see that unlocking or increasing value for St. Pete as a city?
Well, let me speak very clearly to why I think it's a mistake that it appears we're not going to consider this as a solution for St. Petersburg. And I appreciate you you vouching for my love of St. Pete credentials on the way in. And I think, by the way, the city administration believes that about us too. We do love this city and think it's a wonderful place. We have the opportunity right now to instead of marching toward an inevitable end in 2027, where the team is being compelled to stay against its wishes, where the potential for redevelopment on the site goes from kind of immeasurable next to none, at least during the next however many 8-9 years that we're going to be there, to do something that could be truly incredible. If we're right, if Rays management is correct in our belief that this could truly be an incredible idea, and that if we're allowed to explore it, we may discover that we can build an outdoor ballpark that hosts spring training games, brings tens of thousands of people down from Montreal to spend time in our community, and then even more during the regular season too, that causes fans to be showing up in the 20 and 30,000 numbers on a nightly basis, that eliminates any of this sort of yuck surrounding the team right now and the lamenting over day two attendance numbers and what happens, you know, why isn't anybody here, that causes us to be able to put a convention center on the site or hotels or do whatever other development that can be unlocked by a professional baseball team, that allows us to move all these things forward in the near future and secure baseball for generations to come, to do so at a project cost that's several $100 million less than it would be if it required a roof, that secures the Rowdies a home too and promises you, you know, the 20 plus games a year that that team plays. You're talking about something really special. And then on top of all of that, a facility that can be used all winter long. You know, as we talked about in Ybor, we want to program this thing year round. We've managed to bring in Enchant this year over at the Trop, which is bringing hundreds of thousands of people to the site. We have a unique ability to unlock the value on that land and to jumpstart St. Pete in a way that I believe as a citizen could be absolutely incredible for here. All the while, of course, increasing the tax base that comes from that land, which is currently zero. It's a unique and special opportunity. And, you know, refusing to even consider it because of a difficult psychology that makes it feel like loss is hard. I'd challenge people to say, if this team was in Montreal and they said, we're going to bring down 40 games this year, you don't have to pay for an expansion franchise. You don't have to pay that expansion fee. You don't have to build a stadium with a roof. You can build an outdoor ballpark. You're going to get to have spring training here and all of us Canadians are going to come down and watch. Going to have a place for your local soccer team to play at this first class, and then you're going to have 100 plus days a year to program it however you want. People would say, we need that. We need that so badly, and St. Pete is at a perfect time right now in 2019 to take advantage of that. I understand that for me, I've had more time to digest it. I'm biased in terms of my connection to the teams involved, but I think, and as every conversation I've had with people like you and with business leaders, folks at the chamber and with the EDC and community partners, they all say, yeah, that actually sounds really great. And if I could get past thinking that I'm losing half a team for 40 odd games that almost nobody's going to anyway, man, this is really worth a shot. And we could probably get to see I'm going to get to go to the same number of games that I did anyway. And I'm going to just get a few more games on television. It becomes pretty compelling. And so what we're saying and what we've said from the beginning is why wouldn't we have an open mind to this? Why wouldn't we let the team go through the machinations of figuring out if this is possible and what it might look like? Why wouldn't we study what the impact of this tourism could be and figure out if maybe it's possible, as some people have said to me point blank, that we could build a stadium for $400 million fewer dollars that's going to drive hundreds of millions more in economic activity through tourism. It's outside the box, sure, but we got to think about it. And I think it's really important that we think about it from St. Petersburg stance. I get it. Sports teams have been the bogeyman sometimes, and there's all sorts of challenges around public support for sports that have wealthy owners and wealthy players who play them. But if we are focused instead on sort of what is worst for the Rays and instead think about what's best for all of us, you know, I just can't stop grinning about what could happen. And that's why you're going to continue to see me going around and pushing for this and believing in it with everything I have.
And you just need to remind people that if you leave, we're going to be back to monthly monster truck rallies, Thunderdome style, right?
Go ahead. Yeah, look, I think there's a lot to be said for the, you know, St. Petersburg is going to be fine no matter what. It will take a long, long time if we ever want to get baseball back.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to need someone to pay an expansion fee that's going to be well over $1 billion, and you're going to need to build a stadium almost entirely with public money. Right now, we have a team, a great team with a very bright future, and I think a really special organization around it, and we should do what we can to keep it.
An important variable in the economic development equation is the Trop site itself, and the Rays have some rights and a stake in that potential redevelopment. Can you dig into that?
Well, there's a lot of confusion, I think, around the way the development rights of the Trop work. Quite simply, we are under a use agreement. That use agreement is both a right and an obligation for us. It gives us the right to control anything that happens on the site subject to our approval. And it has sort of a baseline understanding that in the event that the city and the Rays want to partner in development on that site, that the Rays would get half the proceeds from the sale of the land. So in order to develop land there, you need a project that the city wants to do and the Rays want to do, and that they agree on how to split the kind of the money for the land around it. There's provisions in there that require for the, you know, maintenance of all the parking that we have now. So if you're going to take up any parking either during the construction or post with whatever building you put there and whatever type of development that you do, you've got to replace all that. And it's difficult to see a way that it makes sense to start developing that 85-acre parcel in a coherent manner if you don't know if, when, and how long the team is going to be there. And as such, and given that we continue to believe that the Tropicana Field site is a very viable site for the team, we don't want to do anything that might hamstring our ability to make it a great home for us down the road. And so developing while we're in this uncertain phase feels hard for us. Now, we'll listen to anything and every idea. We want to be good partners to the city, to the community, to everybody that there is. But I'd ask people as they think about their ideas, you know, put yourself in our shoes for a minute and think about what types of development on our parking lots are going to make sense for us in the short term.
So, and you mentioned the Trop and the site and the potential for it to be developed and the 50-50 rights to that. So is there a world where, you know, if the convention center comes in and the Rays actually have a stake in that based on this agreement, that the revenue and the, you know, the financial stake in the convention center, any of the surrounding things that end up in that site, does that feed into the equation potentially for the team as a total value prop for the Trop? And yes, I rhymed it.
Well rhymed. The development potential of the Tropicana Field site, it could play, again, if we were able to work through an agreement with the city, an invaluable role in the financing of a future Rays stadium. If you remember back in 2007, when we were attempting to build at Al Lang, the majority of the funding for that ballpark was going to come from the development of the Trop site. Now, the Rays could or could not be partners in that site. It doesn't really matter. When you talk about the incremental tax dollars that come from that site, property taxes, whatever we're selling on the area, whatever else comes out of it, the sale of the land, you're talking about a hefty amount of value that can be unlocked and probably appropriately put into building a ballpark. So that's how we think about what the Trop site could be. If, and maybe when, we develop a, you know, a strong and cooperative relationship with the city in terms of our approach, and this sister city's concept became something that was on the table and being seriously considered, you'd absolutely want to talk about the fact that especially the city's plans for developing the Trop site that they have today show more square feet of development with a baseball stadium there than without. And that's because with a ballpark there, you can build higher, you can build more dense. There's a more attractive area that's going to command higher rents. All of that leads to the overall economic picture, to the taxes that it generates, and to all the great things that can come from a baseball team being a catalyst for economic development. We haven't unlocked all that at the Trop site, though I think you would be mistaken if you didn't think that St. Pete's renaissance and rejuvenation hasn't coincided with Major League Baseball more than just coincidentally. I think it's been a part of that. Next time around, we want to make sure that the ballpark we build is built precisely to unlock every bit of that value for the entire community. And there's a ton there. I mean, that's a major asset to our city, but an asset that's a lot more valuable with a ballpark there than without.
Absolutely. And maybe I'm not understanding the financial potential benefit to the Rays, but you know, when I think of building a convention center, or building all those things, the gain is pretty big. I guess I'm just feeling like, you know, how that all plays together is not being discussed enough, you know, to do that collaborative redevelopment and let the Rays, you know, because of the agreement, receive some of the financial benefit from that to make it all work better. Because to your point, that brings gravity back to the development itself.
Yeah. So whether it works through the Rays being partial owners and getting some of the gains from the development, or the Rays being tenants and some of the gains from the development going to fund the stadium, mm-hmm. and some of the increases in the local tax base going to pay for the stadium, it's sort of irrelevant to us. If, you know, I use the term, if we can bring strategic value to a development or investment, we'll absolutely get involved with it. But if a professional developer is going to be able to do the project better, mm-hmm. we're pretty happy running the baseball team. We just need to make sure that some of the value that gets created by being baseball stadium adjacent helps to fund the overall project, because we need that help. We're in a really small market.
And I wasn't so much thinking about you actually participating in the development, but just the ownership of it, the revenue of it, right? Because that brings more value to your bottom line and changes the case for the race.
If it's that the city sells a bunch of land and writes us a check for half the value, or we donate all the land back to the city and some of the TIF monies from that land go into funding the stadium, you know, how it works, there's a million ways, and we'd want to get creative with it. Taking advantage of the development potential to help keep the team in town really feels like something we should be considering. And that's why, you know, again, as a citizen, I worry that there's a miss here.
Well, I've appreciated the time and the explanation. I think you're right that it's nice to have an environment where you can sit down for a beat and really dig into stuff. And you have an open invitation to come back and continue the conversation at any time.
All right. On this race, Fred, if I could just add one thing.
Sure, please.
I want to just remind everyone, we're just looking for open minds. We just want to explore this idea. If the worst case is that we discover that, wow, it could be really great and we're all behind it and now we need to actually see the thing through, I mean, that's not a terrible outcome. If we discover that, hey, you know, we can't figure out a way to make the numbers work and it's going to be too complicated for one reason or another, we're no worse off. And at least we know we've given every last chance to work in St. Petersburg. I hope that, you know, for those listening and those who are skeptical, maintain your skepticism, but let's work on figuring it out together. Let's try to understand what the tourism impact could be. Let's try to imagine a St. Petersburg with an outdoor ballpark and with the Rays and Rowdies and spring training. And let's also think about a St. Petersburg without a Major League Baseball team, something that, you know, I've not allowed myself to think about until very recently, but something that, you know, I feel like it's important that we all wrestle with at least a little bit now, because the 2027 date is a lot sooner than we think when it comes to how long it takes to get something up and going.
Thank you.
From stpetecatalyst.com.